Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to Dice Club. In our last installment, our heroes have found themselves in a mechanical world, and after combating a few strange metal tendrils, they rest for the night. After Marsh fixes up the Warforge, they activate and tell the party that they have no memory, apart from the fact that there is danger, and a place called the Citadel is the only place that's safe. Our heroes follow this Warforge to the Citadel, where they are encircled by a group of masked people, spears in hand. One of which approaches the party, revealing herself to be none other than Marsh's mother. Let's see what happens next!
The six of you, following this Warforged, have reached this stone citadel, where you see on top of the centralized ziggurat-esque structure, the archway. You were just nearly surrounded by a group of people here who all appear to be wearing similar sets of ornate clothing and masks, one of which approached you, taking off her mask, and in front of you, Marsh, stands your mother. She looks at all six of you, then just at you, Marsh, and says,
"You will make no sharp movements. You will do nothing unless it is asked of you."
And the 50 or so people encircling you all in unison draw and point spears. She eyes the Warforged and Marsh. You can tell she kind of, like, very subtly relaxes and is trying very hard to make it seem like that is not the case.
"I have two questions to ask of you."
And she returns her gaze to you, Marsh.
"Firstly, did you repair Seeker?"
Marsh just stares at her.
She's just looking at you expectantly. She starts looking at the other members of the party, looking for an answer.
Venus coughs.
Sarah just kind of, like, nods their head because they don't want to say anything.
Meta was just sort of, you know, looking, like, side to side, like, "What the fuck is it?"
Marsh is just staring her down. But Saradin nodded.
Okay, I think she sees Saradin nod, and she kind of eases and then stands at her full height, still wary but definitely a lot calmer. And she says,
You have just earned my second question. Who are you?"
Hey, Butter, are you good?
I feel like she's talking to you.
Do you need to, take a minute?
We're fully surrounded, right?
Yep.
With weapons drawn?
Psst, Marsh. You know, you can always just, like, lie. Just make up some random shit.
Yeah, just lie. Or, like, tell the truth. I don't really know what's up here, but, you know.
In, Giant, Marsh says, "The fact that you don't know who I am says enough."
She looks very confused, and she doesn't know how to take that.
In Giant again, Marsh says, "I need to leave."
Wait, they said that in Giant, yes?
Yes.
Then,
Do you?
Yes. Yeah, all of that I said in Giant.
I mean, but, like, do you leave?
Aren't we surrounded by spears?
Yeah. I waited for her to kind of respond or make any movement to let an opening.
She says, I'm afraid I don't quite know what you're saying, really.
Does she respond? Is this in common?
In common. It's in common, yeah.
Ooh.
See? I'm with you there. I also have no idea what they're saying.
She kind of actually motions at that. She motions and the spears, the people surrounding you kind of like withdraw their spears and hold them at their sides. And she moves over to the Warforged, actually, and is like inspecting them. And she says, Seeker, you look great. And the Warforged kind of looks off into the middle distance before they say, Seeker, yes, this was my name, Seeker. And then she, the people that are surrounding you all, they kind of like break the circle a little bit, and sensing that this Firbolg woman is no longer like on the defensive, they kind of disperse. Some of them kind of stick decently close and observe, but they all kind of like spread out.
I, Marsh, seeing that they disperse, turns around, starts walking, and goes invisible.
Oh.
Leaves.
Oh my god.
What? So,
Meadow.
What's kind of like the deal here with the, vaguely what? Threatening, welcoming?
Well, I mean, I think...
No, that was... she was addressing the Firbolg.
And you're just not... You're just completely ignoring the thing that Marsh just did, I guess?
I can't follow them, because they went invisible!
Okay,
what am I gonna do? Just run off in a random direction?
I guess that's fair. She looks at you and says,
well, I mean, you know how it is. I can't really
trust
people right off the bat.
I mean, in recent developments in my life and sort of travel journeys, it has become sort of a fair assumption to make for anyone who meets me that I don't know how it is.
Well,
the invisibility makes me invisible, but it doesn't silence me. After Marsh walked away and went invisible, you could hear them running.
Oh.
Out of the
foot slaps.
Yep, some foot slaps.
Well, that's great.
Yeah. Leaving the ziggurat.
Should I go? I mean.
Yeah, I mean, give it a shot, yeah.
Okay. Serdan's gonna try to run after the sound of the footsteps. You guys just handle this over here. I'll be right back.
Totally. It's going great, I think.
All right.
Cyrus is still with us, right?
He's still there. He looks probably just as lost as any of you. But I think I want to kind of follow Serdan now, as they chase down Meadow Marsh. Yep.
M names, you know, confusing.
So Marsh is just running. How long does the invisibility last?
Not very long.
Not very long. It only lasts a minute, but I can use this trait a number of times equal to my proficiency bonus, which is 3. So I got about 3 minutes. This is
okay.
Just kind of automatically happening. Like a subconscious reaction.
Yeah. Right.
So,
Okay. Serdan.
Yes.
I'm gonna have you make a survival check.
Ooh.
I guess to try to track Marsh.
Yes. That's a dirty 20.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I think you find 3 minutes definitely end up passing, and you follow this trail of that Marsh left, and I think eventually you catch up to Marsh in there's a small like junction that the road kind of branches off to, and I think Marsh kind of went down to the left that way, just out of sight of of this stone citadel area before their invisibility went off, and you find them there.
Hey, Marsh.
Marsh is sat against a wall, with their knees to their chest, staring blankly ahead, and fully sobbing, completely silently. And, yeah.
Saradin pauses for a moment, because they weren't really expecting this. and just kind of, like, slowly walks up, and, like, puts a hand on Marsh's, I don't know, can they elbow? I don't know if they can reach anything else.
And slightly shaking,
the hip or something, I don't know.
And I think we'll just wait a minute, because this might need just a minute to, like, calm down. And then I don't want to push too hard, but do you mind telling me what's going on, or?
Marsh, starts talking in giant first, and then, moves to Dwarvish, and then into Common. I don't know if it's better or if it's worse that she didn't recognize me.
Oh. Okay. Dang, this is tough.
Tell me about it.
So, I guess this is kind of a situation, kind of like just another one of those weird, I don't know, copies or doppelgangers or Well, I guess maybe the best way to think about it would be this isn't actually that the person that she looks like. It's just someone who happens to be identical and is probably kind of similar, but it's not the same person. So it's like that.
Yeah.
Do you mind me asking who that would be?
I don't think, this is me, Rain, I don't think the words mother or mom would be in Marsh's vocabulary.
Oof.
So, The grandkin, the woman, the person who birthed me.
Gotcha.
But she didn't recognize me, so.
Saradin just kind of tries to give a little hug. Wherever they can reach their arms around. It might be tough to go back. I don't want to make you, if you don't want to, but the arch is there, and so we will at some point have to be over there so we can leave.
I don't know if I can face her again.
Well then,
Do you just want to stay here?
Yeah. I think I need to be by myself for a bit.
Okay, what should I tell everybody? That I couldn't find you, or you're studying some really cool moss, or...
You couldn't find me.
Okay. I'll try to get them to not also come out here, I guess, but will you come back to the Citadel when you're ready?
All right.
Okay. Saradin gives a little pat and kind of walks off. And I don't think that they have to pretend to look kind of dejected as they get back.
I will say, I think as you walk away, Marsh just looks as small as they ever have. And that's where I'll leave that.
All right. Saradin, you go back to the Citadel, and you find the party there. I'm trying to think about... I don't think we need to do, like, a scene of, like, what you guys were doing during that.
I mean, did we get any questions answered?
I mean, that's a good point. We could just start from you guys and, like, Saradin just left. So the four of you are just there. Saradin just dipped. What do you guys do?
So disregarding that, I am going to need some context for what's going on, because I'm telling you, I truly don't know anything.
Yeah, there's like We're a fucking robot here. And I don't know.
And like, we've been having a lot of situations where we sort of show up somewhere and then everyone's very threatening, or they point spears at us or throw us in jail, and they're always like, oh yeah, obviously this is why we're doing it, you know?
Well, I mean, I'm sorry that you've been, well, I guess burned in the past, but you have to understand that you are complete strangers. We don't know you, we don't know anything.
That's not how I greet
about
people.
You, frankly.
I mean,
so you're saying that you know every single person in this town already?
Do you point spears at every new person that you meet?
Yes, I do.
You know, I'm gonna stop asking like obvious questions with obvious answers. I'm getting pretty tired of going to places and then pointing spears at us. Hey, I'm Venus. What's your name?
It is a pleasure to meet you, Venus. My name is Enrica.
Cool name.
Thank you. What would the rest of yours be?
I'm Meadow.
I'm Ren.
I was waiting for somebody to do Cyrus, but that's not your job.
Nope.
And I'm Cyrus.
I was looking at Duck expectantly, but that's not anything.
I'm Cyrus.
that's canon. Cyrus, it's nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
That's not what he sounds like.
Are you guys going to need to deal with the two of your group just kind of dipping?
No, but they'll come back. It'll be fine.
Sometimes they do that.
I'm sure they'll be back.
Magically reunite at some point. It's cool.
If you insist.
Thought conveniences. I mean, what?
why don't you all come with me and we can go somewhere and hash this out? Because by the looks of it, you definitely aren't locals. But judged on how you look and what you've been saying,
that no, like the part when I said that we weren't locals,
like
yeah.
When you said that you weren't locals, that kind of clued me in a little bit. How about we go and kind of sort this situation out?
Like, too far off, seeing as our friends haven't returned yet.
That is fair. My tent is actually just over here, and she kind of gestures to the side where, like, 10 feet away there's a tent.
Can we leave breadcrumbs for
a trail of pipes. Ranger who can find the tent.
Nowhere.
We still leave breadcrumbs.
I don't know. They couldn't find Marsh.
Yeah.
Marsh was invisible. The tent's right there.
Yeah, as you're putting the breadcrumbs down, Saradin's like, Hey guys. like out of breath, you know.
I couldn't tell if you were like gonna be sick or like just like tired.
That's
just
the acting. Same thing, honestly.
You know, Sarah that's fair.
Throws up on the floor of the tent.
Okay, wait. To be clear, do we have do we know it's Marsh's mother?
No. Based on context clues, you don't. Your characters don't know it's Marsh's mother.
Apart from the fact that it's just bigger Marsh.
Apart from the fact that she looks a lot like Marsh.
Anyways.
Okay, so I think yeah, as you're kind of laying down the breadcrumbs for Marsh to follow back to your tent, Saradin now is back.
Hey guys. Hey guys.
Bro, are you?
I'm back.
Are you okay? Here, calm down. Take a breath. Eat a good berry.
What happened?
How far did you run?
Not very far. but very fast. Sorry, my voice went really deep there for a second. Anyways.
Oh my god.
I
hate when that happens.
Could not find Marsh.
Oh, should we all go look together?
I think Meadow, actually, I think you can tell that Saradin is lying.
Oh, cool. Never mind. Oh.
Just disappeared. Nowhere to be seen. But I don't think we should worry about, I mean, I'm sure they'll come back. I have a feeling that you guys have the same energy about me, so.
No, I'm sure they'll come back, yeah. It's probably fine.
Yeah, the breadcrumbs can be for Marsh, I'm sure.
Wait, breadcrumbs?
Sorry, did you say birdcrumbs?
No!
You first definitely egg. Said no, birdcrumbs. Anyways, the Enrica kind of now seeing that you're back, Saradin, and that you're not gonna bring back Marsh, she leads you over to the tent, and as you're kind of walking over to this tent, you can see that as you're inspecting this chamber a little bit more, it's just hundreds of feet across and equally as tall, just completely just carved out of stone. There are what look like other kind of makeshift tents pitched around the vicinity of the main ziggurat structure. They're all made with various types of fabrics and of various shapes, some much better off than others, but all a decent distance away from the actual structure itself. So she leads you six, including the Warforged, into the tent nearest the base to the nearest to you guys. And as you're actually kind of investigating the room itself, you can see that the steps that kind of the main steps that lead up to the actual structure itself of the ziggurat and to the archway, they are guarded by two larger people, a lot more heavily armored than the other ones here. Then she leads you into the tent itself, and she moves to the other side of a stone table, where there are maps and charts all sprawled out over top of it. I would offer you all a seat, but I fear those are in short supply these days. Now, back to the discussion of you're not exactly locals.
Yes, we are from somewhere that isn't here.
What exactly brings you around to the Citadel?
Several incidents that were only partially within our control.
Great description, Meadow.
Well, I'm gonna need you to be a little bit less vague than that.
No, it's just that whenever we say the real answer, people are like, what the fuck do you mean by that? That doesn't make any sense.
I got this, Meadow. We have been sent by the gods on a holy mission. Prophesied in the scrolls. And this is where our mission has led us.
She says, trembling.
Now. So we're here to save, the world from great evil. And this is where our quest has led us.
Yeah, mostly we came specifically to the Citadel because we found Seeker and Marsh fixed them up.
I mean,
and
that's
now
that's
we,
like the
and then
no, we
answered.
Did it
then
because gods told us to, clearly.
Yeah, the gods named Seeker.
They came down and they were like, yeah, you gotta go to the Citadel and do your thing. But they're always very vague, so we're not sure what our thing is.
Holy shit! Something just fell off my shelf. Ignore that.
Okay. No, that's an appropriate reaction to whatever the fuck is going on right now.
Not. Venus is just like, oh shit, I've oh got it. Eureka!
Anyways.
See, I'm getting a feeling that she's not really buying this explanation.
I'm not entirely convinced of the whole existence of, you know, the gods' divine intervention.
No, I definitely know about really the gods. The part where they sent us here, though, debatable.
Well, I know that's really one.
I mean, the gods are the one that I'm struggling with. Wait, you know, are gods typically not real in this world?
I've met a god.
Do you all not have gods? Holy shit. Guys, we should move here.
What? No, no, we shouldn't. Bro, my magics.
Wait, that's true. They are useful, I guess.
I think as long as I don't know how it works actually.
Well, I mean the existence of the gods themselves, that's not really up for questioning. They can do whatever they do up there, but I don't know if I'm necessarily buying your holy conquest.
No, I don't know if you should, to be honest.
Ren, just show them the tapestry. Let's
no, don't
hurry
do that.
I whip Ren, out the no. tapestry. I do a very dramatic
See, I was trying to avoid just saying portal, because we always get so many questions when we say portal. This is worse.
We yeah, were sent no, I mean, by the divine.
Get it over with. We've done this enough.
We went through a portal, okay?
Ren.
I'm
pointing out everything and like explaining every single
this
one
is
that
the
led
cave.
Us here.
This is that one girl that we left
we
down also, in there
no,
for some reason.
Stop telling this random woman all of our shit.
Venus, are you actually doing the like pointing out each individual thing?
Yeah. This stop. Is where we started.
Stop
we went with a job.
Okay. She's just listening like enthralled by these words.
Venus!
And as you like detail are you telling her about just like the archway and everything?
Yeah.
Venus!
And the fact
oh my
that,
god.
I'm like right, kicking
play out this conversation
Venus's
actually
leg.
With the
like Venus
about like the archway and stuff.
Serdan is gnawing on Venus's leg.
Yeah, fully
bit.
Like kicking that, like elbowing her in the side. Like, Venus, for fuck's sake!
What do we have to lose? We want to get out of here!
She was pointing spears at us like 5 minutes ago!
Listen,
who hasn't?
We've tried in every single other world to do it logically. Let's just, like, fuck it and try this, and if it doesn't work, we can do something else
Thank
next
you,
time.
Thank you, Ren!
What if she's this world's Kairos in disguise?
I don't
she
think
she doesn't so. Look like this guy's dad, so I don't think she is.
Anything, she kind of looks like Marsh's mom.
Does she?
Serdan just
is
like
just a
freezes up. Serdan just stops moving.
Just bites a little harder on the leg.
Yeah, as soon as she says that, it's like.
Wait. Sorry, canon
so you,
check.
Your
question. Do we still have the fucking haunch?
I think
Do
we
still
about
have the haunch?
Haunch
yeah,
the,
I've still
the,
got the haunch.
The,
Hell
haunch.
Yeah.
It's like dried and like cool.
I,
now,
I
though,
point
but...
to the haunch on the tapestry.
Yeah, and
okay.
then
I have no
pull up my skirt
on the tapestry,
and it's in my haunch
it
holster.
It's yeah. not.
All right.
Okay, personally, I would love to know what was her name? Enrica is taking this.
Yeah. I was just about to say the exact same thing. So she's listening just so intently as you recount this epic tale about 24 podcast episodes long. And
so they're there for
like,
a while.
Yeah, you're there for a while, actually. And... I think you long rested before, but if you hadn't, you could just count this as a short rest.
Hell yeah.
But you're telling this story, and she's just like gripped to every word. And as you get to the bit about the archway, she kind of like looks through the opening up onto the onlooking the ziggurat structure, and she kind of interrupts you to ask, this archway, is it like, it sounds like you're describing the one on top of the ziggurat.
What?
Is that...
No.
It would be, in fact, the exact same one. I mean, it's probably different archways, but they're portals through different worlds. And see, Enrica, this is why I'm telling you now. So if you knew where to get, like, a crystal, crystal.
I pull out the crystal from the last one from my pocket. Fuck's like this. Sake. Do you have any guys that look exactly like this?
My mic just peaked louder for longer than it ever has before. Thank you. Anyways.
I hate all
she's,
of you.
She's looking at the crystal. She says, I'm not entirely certain that I've seen any that look exactly like that, but it does intrigue me about the archway, and that you say that there's more than one connecting these separate worlds.
Yeah. So what do you know about the archway?
Actually, wait. I have a favor to ask of you, just like for science. Could you touch this?
The crystal?
Yeah.
Okay, she touches the crystal and nothing happens.
Oh.
Damn it. That's so interesting.
That's really interesting, actually.
Yeah.
Wait, Birdie asking, because I can't quite remember, if when Cyrus touched it, did it hurt him, or was it just like all of Kairos's dudes?
So Cyrus touched it on the boat when you were all captive,
mm-hmm.
and it drops on the ground. He goes to pick it up. It hurts him a lot.
Okay.
He can't move it. On the boat later, you touch it to him, and it does nothing. Like when you kidnap him and escape.
Oh.
So they have to hold it like fully, maybe?
Was it in the
maybe?
Compass when we touched it to him?
No, it was a
separate. You used a different
oh,
one.
Okay.
Yeah, actually, I hand it to her.
To her, she holds it and is just like looking around at it, and then hands it back to you. Nothing happens.
Damn it,
that's weird.
Maybe you just have
Cyrus,
to be fucked up
you...
and evil. Instead
oh
of
yeah,
Cyrus,
yeah, yeah.
You want to
like
test this again?
Character. Sorry, Cyrus.
Oh, well, true, really. Cyrus.
Wait, make Cyrus touch it now.
Were you asking? Alex was talking over the very good thing that Gabs was trying to say, so I didn't get to hear the actual relevant information. Sorry.
Cyrus, you want to go this? You want to try this again? Let's see. A little experiment time.
That's what I also said. That's literally the same thing that I said.
You say everything. Let me have
no,
this.
No, it's fine. Lord. I'm just saying that it's rude of Tin to be like, I can't believe Alex talked over Gab's good thing when I was saying the same thing.
Yeah, I just wasn't listening. So Cyrus is kind of like pumping himself up a little bit. Just like psyching himself out, trying to get like...
Oh,
like,
he's
all right,
such a dork.
Okay, yes.
Oh
this
my god.
This is not going to... This is just not going to hurt. I know it. And then he grabs it and he holds it and it doesn't do anything.
Damn it.
It's an absolute
good job,
detector.
Bud.
Okay, I have
I pull
theory.
Out a lollipop from my bag and hand it to him.
Aww.
Why?
I have
ooh,
a
what,
theory.
What flavor is this
it's cream
one?
Soda.
Oh.
Does he not like cream soda, the bitch?
They don't
cream
have
soda
cream soda where I
somebody
like.
Please organically get us back on track.
Creams, I have a theory. I've been
What's
saying.
Your theory?
Ren has a theory. Dice theory. No. What if the crystal only, like, zaps you if you're evil?
Yeah, it's an asshole detector. Enrique, I have a feeling we were having, like, a conversation that was trying to lead somewhere. And now we've sort of answered your question about how we're not local, so your turn. What's up?
Well, since you've so thoroughly rehashed your tale to me, I think it's only fair that I do just about the same thing for you. So this city that we're all in right now, it is not just a city. This is the entire world. Decades back, there was a large contingent of dwarves who discovered a way to implement machinery in every aspect of daily life. Not one singular portion of society was left untouched by their... They called it the Great Rejuvenation. Included in this rejuvenation was the governmental structure.
The city was run literally by a sentient synthetic intelligence, and it was in control of every piece of machinery in the city, and therefore the world. Somewhere around 40 years ago, give or take, I'm not sure anyone's kept track at this point, but 40 years ago, something went wrong. The intelligence went wrong. It started becoming hostile to its own citizens, forcing them to run into hiding. Nobody knows exactly why. Imagine that, needing to find shelter, needing to hide from the very planet you live in. This citadel was left untouched by the dwarves, largely in part by its religious significance, and is now the one of the only places in the world not mechanically touched or upgraded. Right now it is our current respite from the mechanical hellscape outside. We call ourselves the Spark, and I lead these people. They're in my care, and I will not let anything happen to them. I won't let the city take them from me. It's a miracle we even gained access to this place. You say that these archways are gateways to other worlds?
Yes.
That's what we understand, yeah.
This is fascinating. According to the histories, this archway, and she points to the one that's on top of the ziggurat, it appeared there, seemingly out of nowhere, at the precise moment that the intelligence was created. It has massive historical and religious significance here, and I'm afraid I won't be able to just let you go up and investigate it or anything like that.
Damn.
I consider myself fairly understanding, but it will be a much tougher sell for the people who see it as part of their religious structure.
That's fair. I mean, we've seen it before in different versions of it, I mean.
That's fair.
Thanks. So, hey guys, I think this giant robot is the thing that we're going to be dealing with for the next while.
So I guess that Kairos? Sort of discounts the Kairos.
What if the robot is Kairos?
Last time I checked, no, he was a guy.
Yeah, Cyrus says, so what if this robot's a guy?
I don't think so. I guess I never really checked.
Could you imagine him as a robot, like, right now?
He kind of looks, like, over himself, and then he looks back at you, and he says, well, I'm not a robot, so I think I can do the math on that one.
Maybe you're adopted.
Holy shit!
Maybe you're adopted!
Personally, if I was Kairos' son, I would be pretty thrilled to be adopted.
As thrilling as that does sound, I've looked in enough mirrors to know that that's probably not the case.
Yeah, fair, actually. Maybe he pilots a mech. But just, like, in this world.
Yeah. Or maybe he's, like, in the machine, sperm. You know what I mean? Like, oh, just, like...
Maybe it's, like, that one... In that the one, machine. That one healer.
Gillian,
maybe
arc,
it's, like, in that
please.
One that one scroll about, like, the time-traveling healer man. And it's
oh
like,
my
the
God.
Ship that
we
repaired
can't.
Itself
yes,
with human
going.
Parts.
Healer what?
Healer what?
Exactly, healer what?
Healer
witch.
Healer
witch.
When?
Yeah, that's
healer
the,
witch.
That
is
the question.
Really
healer witch. Which is, like, funny because it's like a witch, but, like, witch.
Yeah.
Anyways.
We have
fun.
To.
Let's
anyway,
get back.
So it's like, the scroll from that where the ship healed itself with body parts.
No.
Did you just...
Okay.
Sorry. Hold on. Hold the phone. Did you just say, yeah, anyways, let's get back to it, and then continue talking about Doctor Who?
Well, I just felt like my... Like, the point of my Doctor Who bit got sort of crosstalk, so...
Okay, whatever. That's fine. Anyways, for real now.
What now, gang?
Oh. I kind of thought she was talking, I'm gonna be honest.
No, she said a lot of things there, just completely uninterrupted, and detailed her entire story, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So,
thank you for sharing.
Yeah. Well, we don't have the crystal anyway, so... Well,
is it Enrica? Is that her name?
Enrica.
Yes. Enrica. I'll spell it in the thing.
So we don't... Enrica. We don't need access to the portal right now anyway, because we don't have the crystal. So that is a problem for Victor.
Exactly. Yeah. We can, like, talk to some people and grease the wheels. But you're telling me you haven't seen any mysterious blue crystals.
I have not seen mysterious blue crystals.
Have you seen any, like, asshole-ish men who kind of look like birds and who, like, could be hot, but they aren't because they're assholes?
Like this guy.
Yeah, they kind of look like him, but he couldn't like be hot, guy. Though. Sorry.
I could draw Kairos again. We could do this again.
Oh, God.
If you wanna.
Marsh isn't here to supply me paper.
It's impossible.
That's all Marsh is good
You'd
for.
Have to draw it on the tapestry, and we can't have
oh,
that.
Oh, well. There's absolutely no papers here that were mentioned at all.
No,
if you need papers, I can hand you a piece of paper if you...
I feel like our description
is
pretty
paper
vivid.
Here? God, this world is so cool!
She gives you a piece of paper.
I draw Kairos, like, exceptionally well.
I don't think I recognize this man, no.
Well, that might be good, you know? I am tired of his ass.
And you don't have any, like, mysterious boss or anything like that.
Who always wears, like, a mask or armor or something.
How about the guys that made the robots? The big robot? Who made those? Dwarves. Are they alive?
Are we sure that one of them
Sorry,
isn't, like,
what, robots?
Weirdly tall for a dwarf?
The big machine. The machine.
The planet?
What?
Oh,
the planet?
Did
yes.
I miss something?
The planet's
made
the AI?
The planet
I think I missed something.
The dwarves turned the planet into a machine, and then they installed the artificial intelligence that ran.
Yes, but are you sure that none of
the
dwarves
planet is
were
the
weirdly tall and, like, twinkish?
Do we need to go into the heart of the planet and kill this AI? Is that the plot? Holy
is this,
shit.
Is this Tin's anti-AI plot where we kill fantasy ChatGPT?
Oh my god.
That would kind of go hard, not gonna lie.
So... May I see one of those crystals again, please?
I hand a crystal over.
She's like investigating it, and she says, "You
say you put these into the archway, and that it makes a portal to another world."
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, but we can't go back and forth. It's like a one-way portal. This is our problem.
And fascinating. She says, How about we cut some sort of a deal?
I like deals.
Me and my people can help you look for this crystal and grant you access to the archway. We can help you with both of these things if you do one thing for us.
I mean,
I bet
shoot,
it's gonna be really
hell
hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Hey Seeker, would you mind leaving the tent for just a moment, please.
Seeker kind of just like nods and then leaves the tent for now.
This robot's a narc. He has to go.
And then
Enrica leans a little bit closer in and she says, Seeker is a warforged, but they are much, much more than just that. They contain within themselves. They are themselves. The last remnants of the untouched, uncorrupted intelligence that used to preside over the world. She shuffles through a few of the many parchments strewn across the stone table, and she selects a few of them, laying them above the others. She points out one of the charts. This is a map of the world as we understand it. And you can see this map that looks like rings within rings within rings and layers of the same kind of gray that you've seen in the city, marked with circles of ink in four different spots. How much the landscape has changed, I am unfortunately aware of, but...
And she gestures to a few more detailed charts.
These detail the more minute layouts of the city, leading to each access point to descend further inside the planet. This is my proposition to you. And she pushes aside the kind of magnifying apparatus. Bring Seeker to the world's core. Restore the planet's order and peace. And I will grant you unhindered access to the archway and the best of my resources to help aid in the search for this crystal.
You know what? That actually goes...
How does that sound?
That slaps so hard. I want to do that real bad.
Yes.
Yes.
How hard
okay.
could it be?
Things to do.
That sounds, you know, perilous, potentially, and probably a lot harder than it seems on the surface. And also, like, it slaps. So.
Okay, at this point, we're going to take a short... We're just going to count this here now as the short rest. This next section. You guys, you leveled up. We also going to take this moment to establish as canon on Dice Club from here on out. Narratively, it's tough because there's not a lot of times that I give you to just sit and chill where this kind of discussion can be had. But from here on out... Rather than leveling up every now and then, just whenever, it will be at the start of an arc, you level up twice, and Yo! That's how it's going to be.
Hooray!
Slime. For the rest of it.
Yippee!
Speaking of, let's start with just the order that I have of the screen, and Saradin would kind of update, just super, super briefly, like in a minute.
Yeah. So I added a new favorite terrain before I had forest. I added mountain. That just kind of made sense. I have a new favorite enemy. I went with humanoids, and I had a choice of those. So I went with humans and elves because I feel like that's what we fought. So I feel like that makes sense. And then I have a new feature. Sorry, let me escape the horde. Opportunity attacks against me have disadvantage.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet. Ren. What kind of cool things can we see from Ren in the future?
Well, should I say what happens when Ren rages that we should have been doing this whole time?
Let's just do, like, rather than giving a list of every, like, specific thing that you got, just, like, narratively, what ways has Ren gotten cooler?
Ren can punch twice now when he's fighting.
Woo. Oh, that's cool.
What? He's buffer, he's stronger, he's hotter, he has a certain glow about him. He just looks
good. Literal and metaphysical.
Doing great. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he can, like, cast glowing light around himself if he wanted to, but he's not going to.
Pretty sure.
But yeah, he's chilling. I took one level of barbarian and one level of cleric. That is what happened with Ren.
Nice. Rain, how about you?
Yes. I got
And by Rain, I mean Marsh.
Yes. I got an extra spell slot. At 6th level, I got tool expertise, so my proficiency bonus is doubled for any ability check I make. And then at 7th level, I have Flash of Genius, which means I gain the ability to come up with solutions, so when me or someone else close to me makes an ability check or saving throw, I can use my reaction to add my intelligence modifier to the roll.
Nice.
Which is pretty nice. I think that might come in clutch. And that's it. For me.
So
and I also
smart that you make everyone else better around you.
Very cool. Meadow.
I have a new channel divinity thing, which is dampen elements, which gives resistance to certain types of damage. I can channel divinity twice in the rest now. I have more
Very
spell
cool.
slots.
Nice.
Venus!
Okay. Venus got a lot of new stuff. I have this new ability called Know Your Ooh. Enemy. You spend at least 1 minute observing or interacting with another creature outside of combat. You can learn certain information about this guy, like strength score, dexterity score, constitution,
oh
armor class, hit points.
That's crazy.
Why would I need to know this?
Strategic
I don't know.
Value.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure. I got a new feet. New feet.
Holy
wow.
shit. Hooves?
Cleats?
Send
yeah,
pics.
But, Laurel. Yeah.
Who said that?
We did the same joke
last
time.
It's funny. It sounds like a foot.
Wait, oh my
yes.
god.
So, this feet. Called Inspiring Leader. Venus is such a leader core now.
Real captain, one might
you can
say.
Spend 10 minutes inspiring your companions, shoring up the resolve to fight. When you do so, choose up to 6 friendly creatures. Wow. within 30 feet. Each creature can gain temporary hit points equal to your level plus your charisma. Yo.
That's so cool.
That rules.
Thank you, Venus. This is
a real good pep talk.
And then I got two new maneuvers. One is goading attack. When you hit a creature with a weapon attack, you can expend one superiority die to attempt to goad the target into attacking you.
Goaded attack.
Target must make a wisdom saving throw. On a failed save, the target has disadvantage on all attack rolls against targets other than yourself until your next turn. And then Commander's Strike. Ooh. When you take the attack action on your turn, you can forego one of your attacks and use a bonus action to direct one of your companions to strike.
Whoa.
When you do so, choose a friendly creature who can see or hear you. That creature can immediately use its reaction to make one weapon attack, adding the superiority die to the attack's damage roll. My superiority die is 1d8.
That rules. That actually rules.
Yeah, what can
Venus
I say?
Venus is like that's an all, army that's now, all I've got. Pretty much.
Yeah. Like a lot of stuff that I got now.
Anyways, that's great. You all have leveled up, and you've all rested, and you're all feeling absolutely incredible. All six of you feel incredible.
Yeah, tell me about Cyrus's level up.
Cyrus leveled up. He can fly now.
What?
Wait, actually?
No, I'm doing a bit. He didn't level up with you guys.
Oh, that's cringe. My God.
But I have a class down as sorcerer.
That makes sense.
Interesting.
That's really interesting. I thought he'd be like a rogue or a fighter.
Nah, dude.
Nah.
He's not very strong.
He does magic, obviously.
Hey everybody, it's Tin, and I've got some show notes to tell you, and they're hot off the presses. I just want to give a super quick shout out to Dax Ayrton on Reddit. That's DAXAYRTON on Reddit. He's great. He's got a lot of cool stuff. You should go look at it and find all of it and read all of it. I want to thank you for listening and being here. I'm sorry that this episode is late. Hopefully the lateness of this episode is not going to affect the release of the next episode. So by the time you're hearing this, it will be 1 week from today that you can listen to the next episode, which is exciting. Thank you for being here. It's just great that people are listening, and I'm really glad to be able to make this show. It's gotten tougher. I think I talked about it before. I got a new job recently, and it is long hours, so it makes doing this difficult, but knowing that there are people listening, it kind of all makes that not really so bad. So it would be even less bad if there were more people also listening. And the only way to really do that is through you guys. We don't advertise anywhere, and we have no way of growing apart from you. So if you would, follow us on our social medias. You can find all of them at linktr.ee/diceclubpodcast. You can share around the show on social media. So you could, if you'd like, talk about it on social media using the hashtag TheDiceCast. We can talk to you. And if you make art of the show, we're going to start posting that on our social medias with due credit, of course. But yeah, that is very, very exciting. The next episode, hopefully, will be out March 12th. So I'll see you then. This is the end of the rest, and we're gonna get back into it. Marsh, actually, have you been doing anything interesting, or are you still just kind of hanging out?
That is
do something cool.
Do a backflip. I think Marsh wanders around a bit.
Okay.
I think subconsciously trying to get lost a little bit, but not going too far.
The rest of you are back in Enrica's tent. I think it's just the five of you now. Venus and Ren and Saradin and Meadow and Cyrus. Seeker is not with you. She once again has those parchments underneath the magnifying apparatus.
The plan should be as follows. The planet is composed of layers of the city, each currently at least locked away behind access terminals. You will follow Seeker to a terminal, they will activate it, and you will descend. You will repeat this until you reach the world's core. The plan is treacherous in its simplicity, I fear. We have sent teams of the more trained combatants the Spark has to offer, yet none of them were able to bypass even the first terminal. I assume that it's a similar state in which you found Seeker in the first place.
I have great news for you, because the last time that we went into a cave that nobody famously had ever made it out alive of, we made it out alive.
Well, we didn't really go back out of the cave, did we?
Are we in the cave?
Whoa, guys, are we in the cave right now?
No, that was not philosophical. We're not in the cave.
Wait, guys, what if the ocean we were at is actually that cool puddle we stared at for a while?
Saradin's allegory of the cave.
I just have to go point out that we very much did go to the cave in the ocean at
one
point.
What if this is all a dream? That's not the point.
Oh my god.
Anyways,
I'm trying to do a sales pitch for us as an adventuring party here, and you're ruining it.
We already did that part.
I'm just saying. We're so qualified.
Well, you were able to fend for yourselves and return Seeker to the Citadel, so as far as I'm concerned, you are very far ahead of the curve of the people we've sent. So that's a promising sign. What do you have a question, Gabs?
I do. Well, Venus has a question.
Or Venus, yeah. Yeah. Even better.
Is Seeker like why is he out is he not allowed to know the plan? Like
yeah. Are we gonna like kill them when we do this?
Seeker's memory is kind of a touchy subject. If they power down, they will lose almost all of it, so you have to be wary of that. But also, for some reason, the same thing will happen if you tell them that they're the synthetic intelligence that presided over the world. I'm not sure why, but informing them of that fact completely resets their memory banks, primary and random access.
Great.
It's kind of a
much less than ideal.
Coding
but
flaw there.
That's the.
Can we just reset the HTML?
You're telling me.
Yeah, plug it in and plug it out again.
Plug it in and plug it out again. Genius artificer over here, you guys.
Artificer.
Bitch. Artificer.
Do you have any other questions before you depart?
Is it dangerous for Seeker? Like, not the journey. Obviously the journey is dangerous, but like the reuniting with the core of the planet part?
Yeah, is there like a chance that Seeker turns evil?
What if Seeker is Kairos?
I really wouldn't assume that.
Last time I checked, Kairos wasn't Seeker, but you know.
Oh, we've been over this.
In theory, obviously it's all untested, but theoretically, what should happen is they will just plug themselves into the core of the world, the main processor, and their consciousness will be transferred into the world. And I have full confidence that they will be strong enough, certainly, to overpower the whatever is currently taking over the consciousness. So there's that. Their physical form will almost certainly be lifeless after that and pretty much useless, but the consciousness will live on.
Do you know what made the original intelligence go bad, for lack of a better word, in the first place?
We have no idea. All we know is that once it went bad, things went very badly, and there is no rhyme or reason why that's been apparent.
God damn, I hope Seeker doesn't also go bad. Respect to you guys.
Yeah, that wouldn't be great, actually. So do we have So is there anything else, or do you think that you're ready? I believe that Seeker is now waiting for you by the gate. I've informed them that of what the plan is, but I've been careful to kind of avoid the bits about them being the intelligence itself. They understand that they will be trying to override the current intelligence, but please, please be wary of that. The last thing we want is a total memory wipe while you're out.
Okay, remind us again, what are the total memory wipe things? It's if we tell Seeker they're the intelligence, and what else?
And if Seeker powers down.
Okay.
Like,
got it.
Entirely.
Before we go, do you have any, like, cool, like, items or weapons that we could use to borrow?
Weapons and items, unfortunately, were very... One world being one giant machine doesn't lend itself to a lot of wars, necessarily, so weapons are not entirely in high supply. So, unfortunately, we will need to keep a hold on as many as we can. I wish I could be of more help to you, but frankly, it seems that any weapons that you have are better off than any of that we've made in the last 40 years.
Damn.
Well, okay.
Should probably go find Marsh before we leave forever, right?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, hopefully we can.
I guess.
They hit really well.
No, but they only have 3 minutes of invisibility, so this time they shouldn't be invisible.
I mean, is that a spell? Because maybe, anyway. Yeah, let's go see if we can track them down.
Good luck, team. I hope to see you all again. And
she starts studying those maps. She actually hands you some of the maps and stuff that lead around the thing.
I grab them.
Nice.
They're mine.
Sweet. So you five make your way over to the gate where you see Seeker waiting there for you, along with some of the members of the Spark waiting to kind of open up the door. And as they see you approaching, they begin opening up the door, and Seeker says,
"Well, hello there. Are we ready to depart?"
Gotta find Marsh.
Well, I mean, we gotta find Marsh, but that's the departure.
Marsh isn't here, are they?
No. Oh, okay.
Never mind. I did not think so. So, I think finding Marsh just kind of happens after the departure.
Okay, well, I thought Marsh was, like, in... Why are we departing? Like, isn't... Never mind. Carry on.
We'll get Marsh on the way, Venus. I know this is very difficult because you're very focused on the maps, but we'll get Marsh on the way.
Cool.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
And we're off.
I think...
All right.
Saradin would want to try to track down Marsh again and be the one to, like, go and say, like, "Hey, everybody's coming to get you. Hey, I couldn't find them last time, but I think this time I've got it and I can go find them real quick." That's a 9 of survival.
I think you're able to find your way back to the spot that you found Marsh at before. Mm-hmm. Just because you knew where it was.
Yeah.
Is Marsh still there?
No. Marsh was wandering around for a while.
God.
They kneel down in the spot that Marsh was and, like, feel, like, the dirt between their fingers. Damn. Just missed him.
Okay.
That's really unfortunate. But surely you can just track them.
I think Marsh is nearby to make things simple.
Saradin talks very loud and just, like, "Boy, I sure hope we find Marsh. I hope Marsh is nearby."
"Me too. I also hope this." "That would be really convenient."
This is so comical for it being such a serious situation.
It is a comedy podcast. I think sometimes we forget, but it is.
Yeah.
Do you think we sometimes forget? I think we do a lot more comedy than Dungeons & Dragons.
Wait, sorry, guys. Are you telling me that this is a podcast?
Holy shit! Are we playing Dungeons and Dragons right now?
It's been a long time.
We've got vicious mockery.
Just left the call
in the call right now.
Oh my god!
The audacity! The audacity!
All right,
yeah,
guys.
That is the program we record on. Anyway,
Marsh emerges. I think silently. Walks past everyone and kind of goes up to Seeker and like waits for them to continue moving forward.
All right.
Whoa, that
Seeker
was so convenient just now.
Seeker continues moving forward. I assume the rest of you kind of fill Marsh in on what the plan is. Otherwise, this is going to be
yeah.
Hey, Marsh, how do you feel about going to the center of the planet and connecting Warforged to save the world?
Oh yeah, the world is an AI. The planet is a robot.
And we have to make it a not evil one.
Yeah.
It's you like win, a hacking Marsh? Mission. We all know what hacking is because it exists in our world.
In the books.
Go
not
team.
It does. I think it does.
Marsh just like looks over at Seeker, like looks back at you guys and like nods and continues.
Hell yeah.
Sweet. All right, so the seven of you make your way kind of past this part of the city and kind of back through nearly the same path that Seeker took you on to get from where you landed to the Citadel. You pass through that market street again with the stalls and the decorations and the posters. And along some of the edges that you passed previously, and you actually pass right back through the spot you first landed in the world. And then they lead you not much farther than that, down one of the edges, and then back a ways from it. And you find yourselves now in a spot that more closely resembles what you might recognize in a city that you're used to. You see this large city center type area, actual buildings with doors and windows and signs built into the larger metal structures surround this open courtyard area, with benches, and actually at the center of this area there's a fountain, long since out of order by the looks of it, but there are actually some like viney, like leafy kind of plants sprouting from where the water would come out, kind of cascading down the sides of it as if it was like flowing out of it themselves. And at the end of this area, you can see jutting out of the floor a terminal. And near it on the ground, you see something that looks like those round access points the tendrils came out of last time. But it's much larger. And it should also be stated that as you've kind of been journeying through the city, you've been seeing plenty of those access ports. And just in the city center alone, you can see dozens of them. No activity seems to be happening, though. What do you do?
What is there to do? None of the ports are active?
None of the ports are active. There's just kind of buildings around. There's the terminal that that Seeker kind of starts walking towards. But there's just kind of stuff around.
I guess just gonna there's follow like Seeker. I don't know what else to do.
Yeah.
All right. Seeker makes their way towards the terminal. This is the first access terminal. It should take me no more than roughly 15 minutes to bypass the security. Once I'm plugged in, I'll be completely unable to. And then they go rigid and lifeless as they plug into the terminal and they stand there motionless and nothing happens. For a bit, and you wait a couple moments, and then nothing else happens, and then
well, this isn't creepy at all.
Kind of waiting for Seeker to finish bypassing the terminal. What are you doing in this city center type area?
I think the first thing Saradin does now that they have a moment is just kind of go up to Marsh and put a hand out on their leg and look up at them as just kind of like a. You good? Like, making sure.
Marsh, flinches a little bit when you put your hand on their, was it leg?
Yeah.
And kind of looks down at you, and like looks a little bit confused, and then goes over to the terminal. And can I do like an investigation on it?
On the terminal?
Yeah.
Go for it.
Saradin denied.
Ignored. Left on red IRL.
I press a big red button and then a trap door opens underneath you.
And no. A big X shines over Venus's name.
Holy shit.
13. No, 14.
14. It looks a lot like the kind of machinery that you've seen around the city so far.
Mm-hmm.
That same kind of gray material with there's a lot of like vines and like mosses kind of climbing up around it. Specifically like those like creeping vines that like kind of go up around it.
Mm-hmm.
There is a point that Seeker kind of had to like brush a lot of it away to access the like port of it. And you can see that Seeker actually has like just a finger extended with a little bit of like some like prods and wires mm-hmm. connecting into a like port on it. And you can see those prods and wires kind of moving just very, very slightly. And nothing else seems to be really happening externally about the port.
Okay.
Or the terminal.
Marsh just watches this. Like watching right. Seeker and the terminal.
What about the rest of you guys?
Did you say there were vines cascading out of something?
The fountain in the center of the kind of city center here, there's you kind of walk over to that fountain and there are vines stemming from the top of it. They kind of just flow down all the sides of it. It really does kind of look like if the water just turned into vines, but they like grew out of the like hole that the water came out of, and they are resting gently, kind of floating in the small bit of very green, opaque water left in the bottom of the fountain.
Okay, interesting.
Around this fountain, also, there's kind of like benches and stuff.
Just
kind of hanging out there.
Saradin says to Meadow, "Hey, I'll race you to get to the top of that fountain."
I mean, you're gonna... Sure. She knows that she's gonna lose, but sure.
Last one up is a stinkhorn, which is a really fucked up mushroom.
No!
Okay.
She's trying really hard.
All right, then roll athletics.
Where the fuck is my d20? Okay.
I rolled a nat 1.
What? I rolled an 18.
All right.
Meadow trips All right. and falls in the water.
No, shit, literally immediately trips.
Well, what happens actually is you get into the fountain and you climb up into it and you reach the bottom. There's like your legs, I think, are completely submerged in the water and that your feet kind of get stuck to this like algae and like Ugh. Gunk that's been growing on the bottom and they kind of get like sunk in a little bit and stuck there. And you have a difficult time freeing yourself as Meadow like handily just gets all the way up to the top.
Yeah, she's just so determined to not be a stinky mushroom, whatever. and then she realizes that Saradin got like actually stuck, and she does go down and help them.
As soon as Saradin's out, they try to scramble up to the top.
Buddy, I already got there. I don't think that's how the winning
that's
thing works.
An 8.
Yeah, you get up there. It takes some doing, but you do.
Maybe
your foot slides. Yeah, your feet are slippery, and they kind of like they can't find purchase a couple times, and they like slip off a couple times, and it's really embarrassing. But you get up there.
I've never been a stinkhorn.
You were. I think you're gonna have to accept that you're a stinkhorn.
I'm gonna get my algae feet all up on you right now.
Your stinky algae feet. Your stinkhorn stinky algae feet.
Yes. Jump down. Onto Meadow with the feet.
Can I do some sort of save for that? Like dexterity?
I know, sure, a save.
No. I think just dexterity saving throw, I guess.
What is my dexterity?
I guess.
I think it's pretty bad. Yeah, that's a 4.
Yeah, you get those feet all on your face, yeah. And it sucks. It sucks a lot.
Saradin! Oh my god.
Stinkhorn.
Do I also, like... Does this mean that I slip? Because I feel like that's a lot of
impact.
Well, it's
on your face.
That's a whole person.
No, I mean, I don't know. Like, I think you just...
It reminds
unable to see it all coming. What does it remind you of?
It reminds me of the opening of Adventure Time when Jake jumps on Finn's face and he, like, stumbles back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
It's exactly that, actually.
Yeah.
Yep, that's it.
What are the rest of you guys doing, the other two?
I think Ren is not, like, has never really been exposed to this much, like, technology in his life before this.
It's safe to say that literally none of you have, but that's, I think for Ren that might be an extreme case, for sure.
Yeah, he's a little bit freaked out. He doesn't like that it just is unresponsive. So I think, also, seeker pronouns, is it just they, them?
Just they, them.
Okay.
I'm going to really try to stick to that.
Slay. Okay, so I think Ren is just, like, sort of, like, stood next to Marsh watching for a while, but then has been, like, circling around, like, put his hand in front of their face to, like, try to see if he could get the eyes to move, but completely unresponsive. Just sort of watching.
Yeah, that's... All right. Venus?
I think Venus is gonna go to where Marsh is and sit down and watch Seeker for a little bit. And then she's gonna say, Marsh, are you okay? I mean, Marsh, you don't have to answer that, but I know it's difficult being faced with your past, but just know that we're here for you.
Marsh squints a little bit and just keeps looking at Seeker.
Okay. Is there anything else specific that anybody wants to do? Any more investigation or anything like that?
What's Cyrus doing?
What's he doing?
Oh, Cyrus, I think, is... he's kind of watching Saradin and Meadow, actually, just kind of laughing at their hijinks that are going down. He's also kind of looking around the... after that happens, he kind of looks around at the, like, buildings and the kind of shops that are surrounding this... this fountain area.
Is there anything in the shops?
Are you gonna go investigate?
Sure. Hell yeah.
All right. Yeah. So, you go ahead and make a roll perception for me.
Hold on. 12.
12. All right. You can see there are just kind of three shops. That have there's plenty of buildings, but a lot of them have lost their composure in a pretty big way. There are three that have retained more of their composure than the others, like signage and like actual structural stability and stuff. There are two on the side that kind of Cyrus is on, and there's one across on the opposite side.
Can I read the signs?
The signs are like decrepit pretty much, but they have like one of them looks like maybe there's like a needle with thread on it. That's the one that's across. The one that Cyrus is currently looking at kind of has it has like a gear on. Any words have faded off of these. And then the other one, it looks like more just like a scale kind of.
Ren walks over to the one that Cyrus is looking at and sort of gestures to the door and is like, "Want to go in?"
Sure. And he kind of opens it and holds it for you. He does a very, very, very like bravado, like leans over, waves his hand around a couple times, like leg behind the other, just like after you.
Ren is rolling his eyes so hard, violently.
You go in though?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. So in this store, I think I said this is the one with the gear, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's a bunch of like clocks kind of like hung on the walls in here. Some of them have kind of fallen off of their mounts and have broken open on the floor. There's a bunch of cogs and gears and metal scraps of all kinds just kind of strewn around this building here. And that's all you see at first glance.
When I look at the clock faces, does it look like the same amount of hours, same amount of hands as...
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Just normal-ass clocks. Is there, like, a back room?
It doesn't look like there's a back room in here. It just looks like this storefront is, like, that's all it is. It looks like the Go ahead and just roll perception.
Hell yeah. 16.
With a 16, you can see, Yeah, like, all the clocks are pretty much the same kind of delineation of hours and two hands and minutes and stuff. The kind of front desk, you can tell it doubles as, like, a kind of a workbench, workstation kind of thing, where there's not really a back room. It's just whoever ran this shop just stood there and made clocks, I guess. There's
some
drawers with various just pieces and parts. With that, you can also tell that every clock in the room is kind of stopped at the same time, which is 7:17. And also with that, the till is the whole place is just kind of looks like ransacked and like ran through. The till is pretty much untouched.
As in, there could still be money in there? Oh, you fucking bet! I'm investigating the hell out of that. I'm pressing the buttons.
You push the buttons, and one of them opens up the little drawer where you find 125 gold pieces.
Holy shit!
That's so useful. Do they look different than the gold pieces I'm used to? Are they gonna be, like, accepted currency when I go back home?
I mean, gold's gold, bro.
I mean, gold's gold, but, like, I haven't really been... You were able to use your actual gold in the south town of Sephir, I think, so I'm not going to really care about that. Gold's gold. It's around the same size and shape, and it has, like, different markings. I think it's very, very simplistic, like, maybe just, like, a square in the center of it that's kind of, like, raised a little bit. But
how
that
much
is
you say?
That's 125.
Hell yeah.
Gold slay.
True.
Add to inventory. Well, I guess I sort of look at Cyrus while I'm putting it in my coin pouch. Like, you...
He kind of, he raises up his hands, like, next to his head, and he kind of makes a face that reads, like, I don't know. I didn't see anything.
I flip him a gold piece and then continue on.
He grabs it out of the air and, like, looks at it for a second, and then he does that thing where he kind of rolls it between his fingers and then waves his hand, and then it's not there anymore.
That's so gay.
How dare he be able to do that, because that's so hard.
No, it's not! Sorry, what is wrong with you?
He actually tries to do that. I just rolled for him because it's
important
to me.
Wait, what did
Egg
say?
He tries to do it because he said that that's hot.
He said that that's hot?
I do
you
think
said that
it
randomly
is.
Doing magic tricks with a coin is hot?
I do think it's a hot Red thing to be have... able to do. Me yeah. specifically.
Sure, you know what? He does it and it's cool. And
no,
the coin
no, no, no. If he rolled and he
Let
failed,
fail.
I think that's better.
Yeah.
It like rolls along his fingers, but then just doesn't stop and just goes off the other side and falls out of his grips.
That's
better.
Fucking hilarious. Lands
on
and
the floor.
Ren that's laughs great. At him. But okay, it's just a friendly chuckle, actually. Ren, is there a pocket watch somewhere in this store?
Go ahead and roll investigation.
Hell yeah. Oh, well, that's a 6, so.
Okay.
There's no pocket watches in this clock store. Suck it.
That's so sad.
I think I think you are looking around and you can't find anything, but Cyrus actually, he kind of motions you over as he picks up a small clock. Not exactly pocket watch sized, it's a little bit bigger and it doesn't have like a chain or anything, but it is actually still ticking. And the time that's currently on it is 4:58. And that is, he kind of like has it in his hand and extends it and shows it to you.
That's so silly.
This is kind of bonkers a little bit.
Yeah, why the fuck is this one still on?
He just shrugs and does that same kind of, then, I don't know, gesture.
And then he
that
tries
he
to
before.
Do the magic trick with yeah, the clock, that's what I thought. But he does that too.
And then the clock breaks and it's magically at 7:17.
No, he doesn't try to do it with the clock, but that's that.
Okay. Well, I guess. Does he hand it to me or does he still have
it? He had his hand out with it in it, just kind of showing it to you.
I grab it and I look at it. And do you want me to roll to look at the clock?
Sure. Roll investigation on the clock.
How many times can egg roll in like a span of 5
oh
minutes?
Oh my god, 10.
Egg roll?
Egg roll. 10,
yeah. It looks like it's kind of brass. It looks about the size of like a it's a little bit bigger. I was going to say like a watch face, but that's just smaller than pocket watch. It's a little bit bigger than a pocket watch. Like and maybe if you bisected a lemon,
yeah,
like one side of it, that's kind of how big, you know?
Imagine right, a lemon.
Imagine a lemon. That's the size. That's how big it is. And then it's like, I don't know. It's very plain. There's no ornate details. A lot of the clocks here are very like fancy or very like well put together. We're very well crafted. This one just looks very simple. Looks very just kind of there.
I take it with me and I walk out of the store, I guess. I want to give this clock to Marsh is why I'm taking it, because I think Marsh would like it.
Okay. You are kind of walking back to the
terminal.
Yeah, I'm just looking at my notes. Sorry. Oh, okay. Yeah, you're walking back to you're walking back to the terminal, and like 12 or 13 minutes have kind of gone by of you just all going around this area. And all six of you actually hear a kind of a hissing sound as four of those access ports open up, and from them four of those tendrils kind of shoot up from within them with a splash of that brownish red fluid. They move towards Seeker before stopping, facing all of you. One of them jets off to the side and attaches itself to a terminal on the wall, opening up a large panel about 40 feet away from the terminal, revealing an unlit space. All four of them move into the dark space, and from within you see two large yellow eyes begin to glow as out steps a giant robot, easily twice the size of most of you, the tendrils attached to ports on its body. It smashes a massive fist into the side of the wall before ripping two giant jagged pieces of metal off of it, brandishing them before two rockets on its back send it hurtling through the air towards you all.